What we're gonna do right here is go back, way back, back into time.
This is Butch Slaughter, and you're listening to the Echoes of Indiana Avenue. Welcome to my neighborhood, the Avenue. I grew up here, and each week I'll be sharing the sounds and stories of the people that made the Avenue great. Welcome back to the Avenue. During the mid-20th century, Indiana Avenue was a mecca for music and entertainment. And the fun didn't stop at closing time. The Avenue was home to many after-hour joints that allowed patrons to enjoy live music and good times until the break of dawn. There was a catch, though. These clubs operated outside the limits of the law, and they were often subjected to police raids. But the fear of arrest did not stop patrons from packing the Avenue's late night spots. And after-hour clubs like the Sunset, the Missile Room, and the Frederick Douglass Social Club flourished in the neighborhood. On this week's show, we'll explore the culture of after-hours clubs on the Avenue. We'll listen to the memories of artists who performed in these venues and share some examples of their music.
Way, way after hours, when all the other joints are closed, way, way, way after hours, when all the other joints are closed. Well, I know a spot where every hipster goes. Well, it's close and it's smoky, the lights are turned down low, but nobody cares when those cats started to blow after hours.
Many famous Avenue musicians performed in after-hours clubs, including jazz guitarist Wes Montgomery. Wes played frequently at the Missile Room, a famous Avenue nightclub that was open after hours. Up next, we'll listen to an early recording of Wes Montgomery performing after-hours blues. Recorded live in Indianapolis, this is Wes Montgomery with After Hours Blues. That was Wes Montgomery with After Hours Blues. On this week's show, we're exploring the culture of after-hours clubs on the Avenue. The legendary R&B singer Baby Leon performed often at after-hours clubs in Neptown.
All right, is everybody ready?
Yeah!
I want you to get in line. Have you heard about the Boogaloo and the Grapevine? But you haven't did one thing, baby, about the shoe shine.
In this next clip, vocalist Debbie Nelson recalls an incident where Baby Leon nearly got her arrested during a raid on an after-hours club. Debbie spoke with WFYI's Kyle Long in 2019.
And then the after-hours club, I think it was the Big Apple. And we would play there all the time. I remember I almost went to jail.
You talking about the upstairs?
Yes.
Players Den.
Yeah.
Players Den.
That's it. The Players Den. The Players Den.
We almost got locked up too.
I almost got locked up. He needed a microphone, and he called Surfside. I guess no one would let him borrow one. And so after I got off, I ran down there to take him the microphone, and I stayed. And I'm like, wow, I never seen this before. And I'm just standing all around, and all of a sudden, raid!
Yep.
I'm like, what's a raid? And they start coming up there and gathering people, and I'm like, oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord, I got a little baby home. What am I doing? I've never been in jail or anything. So he somehow got his own little crew over to the side of who they were, of who were musicians. Mm-hmm. And they didn't take the musicians.
That's right.
They just took the people. And I'm standing there going, baby, what about me? Because I'm over with the people that's getting ready to go. I bought you the mics, remember? And he's like, I said, please, I can't go to jail. So he, you know, notified him. And I got all the way down on the bus. And I remember sitting on the bus singing. And they were saying, sing another one. But I was just making up stuff. We're going to jail tonight. They came and let me out. I was like, thank you, Jesus. And I never spoke to him again. I was so mad because he just acted like, I don't know you. Mm. I was like, okay, I'm going to get you. So I just never, I was like, that's the end of that. But Mr. T had a wonderful voice,
yeah,
and he
yeah.
was more laid back.
Yeah.
And he had, but he had a very good quality. And he was, the last time I saw him was on the Avenue, but it was the little jazz club. He wasn't really singing what he would normally sing.
With the Bridge Lounge.
That's it. Mm-hmm. I can see it right now with the smoked sausage going around and around on the grill. And they had the little buns inside the little steamer. Oh, my goodness. Yes, the British Lounge. Yeah.
And the Players' Den was on the Avenue, and you said it was upstairs?
Upstairs.
After-hours club.
Above what club?
Place to Play.
Place to Play.
Yeah.
And for people who don't know what an after-hours club is, fill them in on what was going on up there.
After-hours means just that. After the regular clubs close, then you head for the after-hours club and have some more fun. And they had three or four around. You just had to know where they were.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we would go, and you'd start all over again. With your bands, and they'd have two or three bands, three or four people doing the shows. The Four Sensations were like the Temptations.
Mm-hmm.
They were young. I grew up with them a lot.
Kenny Dodson and
yes,
Joe
sir.
Dodson.
Yes, sir. Grew up with them. Joe was my favorite, and he was the first one to leave here. That boy could have you laughing in the dressing room for days, begging him. And Ronnie's like that, that's in our band now. I have to say, Tyrone, make him stop. And I would have to tell, please, please stop. Don't say anymore. That's how they were, but they dressed like the Temptations. I mean, those guys were good.
Mm-hmm.
They were good.
In the after-hours clubs, they were kind of operating
gambling,
it was an underground thing, right? Yeah.
Illegal and food and everything, you know, just doing that thing.
Basically, going from the
bottom.
Doing the same thing upstairs.
Keep on going.
The
bands
all play on up to about 5, 6 o'clock in the morning.
Turn it out.
Yeah.
Turn it out.
Yep, sir.
Let's listen to a classic track from Debbie Nelson and the Full Transition Band. This is Castaway.
Broken and useless.
Broken and useless.
You left me this way. I'm just your castaway. I talk to your picture. They think I'm crazy. Oh, why?
arms again.
That was Debbie Nelson and the Full Transition Band with Castaway. On this week's show, we're exploring the culture of after-hours clubs in Naptown. Bassist Ricky Knox was performing in local after-hours clubs as a teenager. Ricky is best known for his work with Indianapolis bands, including Tarnished Silver and Merging Traffic. During a recent interview with WFYI's Kyle Long, Ricky shared his memories of performing at an after-hours club called the Chili Bowl.
You mentioned the Chili Bowl, which was an after-hour club, and I did want to ask you about the club culture during this time when you entered into the music scene, because it was very different. You know, now you go to, you know, the Jazz Kitchen and you see a band play for an hour and a half and go home. Like you said, this was 6 to 7 days a week. You had a matinee show. You had, you played the main event.
And then you played after.
Yeah, tell me about, you know, the lifestyle of a musician during this time period.
Well, you know, of course, on Saturday nights is when the after hours would be open. And I mean, of course, the guys didn't have the energy they had from, you know, from the beginning of the night. But we made it happen, you know. We would play from 3 o'clock in the morning to 6. Sun was coming up. This was happening every Saturday night at $50 a man is what they paid us. It's good money for a kid.
Yeah.
Back then, I bought a motorcycle.
But this was after you'd already had a full day of performance,
yes.
Right? You played the full matinee,
week.
A full week.
Yeah. And look forward to it, man. It was great, you know. I mean, that was just the way of life, you know. And I didn't know about anything else other than that until I went on the road, you know.
And there were a lot of after hours clubs around the city, right?
Way more than the Chili Bowl. We just didn't know about them.
So that was the main one you were playing at.
Yeah, because they wanted us. They didn't want the other groups.
Yeah.
They wanted us, and we would. I think we trade off about maybe twice.
Yeah.
With different group, but we mainly did that every Saturday night from 3 in the morning to 6 in the morning and look forward to it. I mean, it was fun, you know.
That was a good place.
Yeah.
Anything you wanted, they had it.
Yeah.
Anything.
Yeah, the food was downstairs with your chili bowl, that's what they named, man. You know, they famous for their chili. And you go upstairs and there's a nightclub, you know, bumping. So, yeah, man.
Do you remember any of the other after-hour clubs from that time period? I know there was one on the Avenue at that time called Frederick Douglass.
Frederick Douglass is the club I was trying to talk about. Couldn't remember. Now you ping me right there. Yeah, Fred Douglass.
Yeah.
Yeah, I played there.
Yeah.
That's one of them Avenue clubs. Didn't make it to that. Chili Bowl swallowed us up, man.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't make it. We didn't make the Fred Douglass. We played occasionally Fred Douglass, but our main thing was the Blue Eagle, Billy Max, and the place to play.
Yeah.
You know.
And these after-hour parties, they were kind of operating underground, right? Because this was not...
It was not legal.
Right. Did you ever get busted or anything?
No.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Let me think about this. It was a raid in one of them spots, man.
Because the city cracked down on this at various points. They would really make an effort to go and raid these clubs and... kind of scare people from continuing it.
I'm trying to remember. Did Chili Bowl get raided?
Is that something you worried about as a young person?
No,
you were going to get carted off to jail?
No.
Yeah.
No, I didn't think about jail. Didn't even think about the police. Oh, man. And then I found out how girls worked there, too.
Okay.
So
that
besides the music, that kind of took my time. Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Let's pause and listen to a rare unreleased track featuring Ricky Knox performing with Merging Traffic. Thank you.
are merging traffic. We are merging traffic. We are merging.
Ricky, Jeff, Gerald, Rayford, and Rashad, merging traffic, indie zone jazz fusion phenomenon. Recently nominated to Rockpile Critics polls under Best Indies Act, kicks off this weekend only at Mother's, soon to be Indianapolis' hottest club at 2101 North Talbot. There's ample parking and security. Jam with merging traffic this weekend starting at 9 p.m. Friday and Saturday nights, and join the race to the best seat at Mother's, 2101 North Talbot, and strap in.
Echoes of Indiana Avenue will return after this short break. This is Butch Slaughter, and you're listening to the Echoes of Indiana Avenue. On this week's show, we're exploring the culture of after-hours clubs on Indiana Avenue. During the mid-20th century, Indiana Avenue was a mecca for music and entertainment. And the fun didn't stop at closing time. The Avenue was home to many after-hour joints that allowed patrons to enjoy live music and good times until the break of dawn. The legendary Indiana Avenue sax player Jimmy Cole recorded two definitive After Hours anthems: After Hours Joint and Raid on the After Hours Joint, both issued by States Records in 1953. And we'll listen to those tracks now.
George Reed. Everybody stand up.
That was Jimmy Cole with Raid on the After Hours Joint. On this week's show, we're exploring the culture of After Hours clubs on the Avenue. Bassist Lester Johnson is famous for his work with the Ebony Rhythm Funk Campaign, a band he co-founded in the late 1960s. Some of the first gigs Lester played were at the After Hours clubs on the Avenue. Lester shared his memories of working in After Hours clubs during a recent interview with WFYI's Kyle Long. He was joined by his Ebony Rhythm bandmates, Ricky Jackson and Pam Tanner Davis.
That was my first introduction to playing and getting paid. I played with Harvey at the old Paradise Inn on Indiana Avenue. So the Avenue itself was starting to fade, but I was playing at the old Sunset After Hours. I was playing, well, me and Ricky, by the time you got me, we were still playing at the
Place to Play
and yeah. Fred Douglas, I believe.
Right.
And we were playing at the After Hours there. Then the Place to Play was still open. So there were still venues down there that were still open, but some of the venues were starting to shut down, like the Flame, I think, shut down. Mm-hmm. The missile room shut down. George's bar had been shut down. But there were still places down there. For me, that was my first introduction to playing there. And I played there with the Moonlighters at the Blue Eagle before I went in the Army in the mid-60s, even before I joined the Funk. So I was already playing on the Avenue, and I already had met a lot of the quote-unquote Avenue people. Compared to today, though, I think, to be honest, looking back in retrospect, they were really pretty safe compared with today. I mean, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. If there was compared a fight, to now.
It was basically just a fist fight.
Yeah. Because, right. Like, at the Surfside 7, I mean, I used to hear so many horror stories about that place. And then I finally played there, and it was like, oh, it ain't so bad, you know?
You know, fights then were just basically fist fights.
Yeah.
Drink too much.
Yeah, they'd make a bunch of noise and throw a few hands, then that was the end of it. And everything. Sometimes they just want the band, remember that? They would just want the band to keep playing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, right.
It was a fight broke out.
Just keep playing.
Just keep playing. Get louder. We didn't stop.
It out.
Yes, Robert.
But I don't ever remember playing in any place but in one place where I was playing at that I actually saw somebody get actually hurt. And I was playing at the Sunset years ago before I met these guys. I was playing there with Billy Ball and the Upsetters playing After Hours.
Billy Ball.
And a guy got stabbed in the Sunset. Sunset Ballroom. That's the only time I actually ever remember anybody actually getting really physically hurt bad while I was playing at these places.
Yeah.
That's one time in all these years.
Up next, we'll listen to Ebony Rhythm's debut single. Issued by Lamp Records in 1969, this is Ebony Rhythm Band with Soul Heart Transplant.
Dr. Williams, why aren't you in such a hurry this morning?
I have a heart transplant today.
That was Ebony Rhythm Band with Soul Heart Transplant. On this week's show, we're exploring the culture of after-hours clubs on the Avenue. Sax player Hank Hankerson and organist Johnny Dial shared their memories of working in after-hours clubs during an interview with WFYI's Kyle Long last year. Their conversation was recorded live on stage at the Jazz Kitchen. Let's hear an excerpt.
What year did you come to Indianapolis?
68.
You told me you played with the Vanguards, the famous R&B group. Who were some of the first groups you started working with when you came to Indianapolis?
Well, the very first one was with Johnny at a place called the Gunga Den. It was Johnny, Paul Parker, and myself at the Gunga Den. Later it became I think it was Mr. B's, then the Honey Dripper. So, but then there were others like the Girl Watchers.
Steve Weekly was in that group, right?
Yeah, that's right. The Girl Watchers, and we did The Place to Play, and when Steve joined the band, he was still in high school.
What kind of tunes, when you started out playing with Johnny, was it a show like we would have seen today, some jazz tunes, some R&B? Mm-hmm. Is that what you were playing back then?
Yeah. Because that was, the B3 organ, of course, was in vogue, and people really, really enjoyed it, especially if you would have like today, you would have a matinee from like 4 to 7, and people would just come out to that, and then your regular gig would be from 10 to 2. So the organ had its prominence. Of course, Jimmy Smith was all over the place, but then using it too to do some R&B tunes as well, yeah.
I wanted to ask you both about that. The club culture was very different during this time period because, as you mentioned, you had a matinee show, you had a late show, mm-hmm. you had the after-hours joints.
Oh,
And the breakfast jam sessions. Tell me about the culture of the clubs back then. It was almost 24 hours a day. You could catch a band playing somewhere, right?
Kyle, it was... Okay, let me set the stage for you. Okay, you would come in, play the gig, well, do a matinee, play the gig, get off at 2. The after-hour clubs were from 3 to 6, so you had an hour to pack up and get to your other venue, and they would, in the after-hour clubs, they would have food that you could purchase. They would have, of course, the open bar and all of that, but man, folks flocked to that. It was a very good time. So as Johnny mentioned, musicians would come here, and the musical culture was so great. They would stay, like Bobby Watley, Josel Carter, Billy Wooten. They would stay, man. It was rich, and you could make a pretty decent living playing music, because it was 6 nights a week.
Were you playing the after hours clubs at all, Johnny? Yeah. Oh, get the mic. Yeah, yeah. Did you? Sorry, yeah, go ahead.
Yes, I did. I played some after hours. Well, I did that when I was in L.A. So I was used to it, because that's what we do in L.A. We'd get off, just like he said. They had the same thing going in L.A. at that time. You play an afternoon gig, which would be a matinee, then come back at 9 or 10 o'clock and play till about 2, and leave there and go to an after-hours joint and play.
And this was sort
and
of...
I was about that big. I weighed about a pound.
Let's listen to a track that Hank Hankerson and Johnny Dial recorded live at the Jazz Kitchen with their band, The Organizers. This is The Organizers with Summertime. That was The Organizers with Summertime, recorded live at the Jazz Kitchen. And that's all the time we have for this week. Thanks for joining us for this look back at the culture of after-hours clubs in Naptown. You can meet me here on the Avenue again next week, same time, same place. And you can find the Echoes of Indiana Avenue podcast on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you download your podcast. Echoes of Indiana Avenue is written and produced by Kyle Long and hosted and co-produced by me, Herman Butch Slaughter.
Way, way after hours, when all the other joints are closed. Way, way, way after hours, when all the other joints are closed. Well, I know a spot where every hipster goes. Well, it's close and it's smoky, the lights are turned down low, but nobody cares when those cats started to blow after hours. After hours.
Nobody knows on uptown, baby, like I do. Nobody knows on uptown, baby, like I do. If you will stop and listen, I will tell you a thing or two.